Good morning. Today's Bible's reading is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. Verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Here ends the reading. I hand over to Jim for the message today.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm grateful for the opportunity to bring God's word again to you after some time. Let's hope that the next time will be in person. Let us start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our loving Heavenly Father. In this time of turmoil, we thank you that we have the assurance of your love because we are a chosen people belonging to you. Now, please help us to focus on this letter of Peter. Teach us what you want us to do with this passage and be obedient with the help of your Holy Spirit. Will you also help me to speak clearly and explain your word faithfully? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. SBS TV recently had a series called Who Do You Think You Are? Now, in that program, well-known Australians like The Wiggles' Jeff Fett, Malcolm Turnbull, and others investigate their family history to get a better understanding of who they are, what their identity is. To understand his identity, for instance, the Wiggles' Jeff Fett went back to Tinga, past Armidale, where he and Christine Chan comes from. He wanted to find out who he is. Is he Chinese? Is he Australian? Is he a children's worker? Is he a singer? You see, knowing our identity is important to give us a sense of belonging, a purpose, and a direction in life. Now, having been in lockdown for 9 weeks is also affecting our sense of identity. We feel alienated and socially distanced from family and friends. And unless we live in the same house, we lose our identity as a parent or a grandparent. Who are we? This is similar to the recipients of Peter's letter. You remember that the Apostle Peter wrote this letter around AD 64 to a mix of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians living in the northern part of modern Turkey. You see, at that time, the Jewish Christians believed that Jesus is the Messiah, and therefore they no longer followed many of the Old Testament laws. So their fellow Jews said, you don't belong to us anymore. You've lost your Jewish identity. That then raised the question for the Jewish Christians. Who are we now? And unless they were firm in their Christian identity, it was easy for them to buckle under the pressure and return to the Jewish faith. Similarly with the Gentile Christians, in a society that believed in many gods, they were ostracized for saying there's only one God and there's only one way to him, which is through his son, Jesus Christ. So that made the Gentile Christians lose their sense of belonging. And unless they were firm in their Christian identity, it was easy to backslide into the old pagan society. This is still the same in our Christian life today. Do you feel like that today? Maybe you became a Christian recently, and after a while you notice your friends are distancing themselves from you. They no longer include you in their fun activities. Some have even started saying negative things about you. They think you are narrow-minded, a prude, a spoil sport. They no longer consider you to be one of them. And unless you firmly know your Christian identity, it is easy to give up on your faith and become one of the gang again. Or maybe you've been a Christian for decades, but you notice more and more that society is changing. Every day when you read the news or watch social media, you notice critical articles about Christians. More and more, your values and outlook are out of step with society around them. That makes you anxious and worried about the future. What sort of society will your children and grandchildren live in? The world is slowly turning against you, against us Christians, because we follow Jesus. And unless we firmly know our Christian identity, it is easy for us to hide our faith and to compromise. Well, the good news is that this passage this morning clearly answers the question of who we are and what our new identity is. So as we come to this passage of 1 Peter 2 verses 4 to 12, please keep your Bibles open. It's always a good policy to keep your Bibles open while listening to a sermon, because you can follow the sermon more easily and also check that the speaker is faithful to the text. This passage can be divided into three parts. First, we are becoming alienated from a society because we follow Jesus. So Peter reminds us first who this Jesus is. What is his identity? In verses 4 to 8. Secondly, as followers of Jesus, we have a new identity. And in verses 9 to 10, Peter shows us how amazing this new identity is. And thirdly, now we have a new identity, how does that shape our lives? Verses 11 to 12. First, Jesus' identity. In verse 4, Peter says that Jesus is the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. That is Jesus' identity. Jesus is God's precious only Son, who was sent on earth to show people what God is like and to die on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve for rebelling against God. God loves people and wants a close personal relationship with each one of us. So, incredibly, God sent his only son, Jesus, to make it possible for sinful people to have fellowship with the Holy Almighty God. In verse 6, Peter quoted Isaiah 28:16, where Jesus was likened to a cornerstone of a building. When you have a bare piece of land and you want to construct a building, the cornerstone determines where you start. It's the reference point for the whole building. If you don't start at the cornerstone, the building location and orientation will be all wrong. Jesus' identity is God's cornerstone for us to have a relationship with the Holy Almighty God. We must build on this crucial foundation stone. We must be joined to him. There is no other way. That is the first point. Jesus' identity as the cornerstone of God. In the second point, Peter gives us a quick summary of their old identity. He reminds the Gentile Christians, and that includes us, that originally we were not God's chosen people, verse 10. The Jews were. God chose Abraham to be the father of a new people, the Jews. Neither did we receive mercy, verse 10. All people are sinners and deserve God's punishment, not mercy. Since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, we all inherited this rebellious attitude. We are all without mercy. That was our original identity. But the good news is that God sent Jesus as a cornerstone for all people. It is true that some people rejected Jesus, verse 4. They do not believe, verse 7. With the result in verse 8, they stumble, which is also what they were destined for. But others, like most of us here, chose to trust in him, verse 6b, and believe, verse 7. And because of that, our identity changed completely. All who believe in Jesus become like living stones, verse 5. Not dead lumps of granite, but living stones, just like Jesus is the living stone in verse 4. And together, collectively, we are being built into a spiritual house. Now, this is a picture of the worldwide church today. Collectively, we are a people of worship, not being built. It is a continuous process. The people of worship continues to grow. The church is the people. There is no longer a need for a temple. God doesn't live in a temple built on by stones, but God lives in the heart of every believer. Our new identity is spelled out in verse 5. We are to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in verses 9 to 10, Peter expands on this new identity, excuse me, by mentioning three aspects. First, you are a chosen people, verse 9. We don't need to have Jewish blood to be God's chosen people. That means all God's promises to Israel in the Old Testament now applies to us. Isn't it amazing to think that we, you and I, are God's chosen people? Out of the billions of people on earth, the Almighty, Holy, pure God chose us, you and me. Doesn't it make us fall down in humble adoration? It's got nothing to do with our own merits or achievements. It is purely by God's grace. It was His prerogative to choose us. We are God's chosen people. That's who we are. That is our identity. So if you have not yet asked God for forgiveness, here is your chance to be included as His chosen people. Please talk to a friend or a pastor and pray to the waiting, loving God. Turn away from your rebellious attitude to Him and accept Jesus' sacrifice as a payment for your own sins. Second, not only are we chosen, but we've also been promoted to royal priesthood status. Verse 9, everyone who trusts in Jesus is now a priest. We don't have to be a descendant of Aaron or be a Levite. All believers are priests called to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, as verse 5 said earlier. In practice, this means that we don't need any human intermediary to come to God. At any time, we can ask God for forgiveness for our sins without confessing it to a priest. And thirdly, we are a holy nation, verse 9. Holy means separated, set apart for God. We no longer belong to this society. We are a people belonging to God, verse 9. Or as the 2011 NIV says, God's special possession. Previously we belonged to Satan, but now we have been called out of darkness into His wonderful light, verse 9. Belonging means that we are now owned by God. We have a new master. How do you and I feel about our wonderful new identity in Christ? Yes, society may ostracize us. Yes, we are indeed different and we don't belong here. Yes, there is even anxiety and maybe a little fear looking at what the future holds for us, our children and grandchildren. But Peter reminds us of our amazing new identity in Christ. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is who you and I are. What an amazing privilege. Our identity shapes our lives. In the SBS program, Who Do You Think You Are? When somebody discovers that they have aristocratic ancestry or are descendants of convicts, their life changes. Because they are mindful of who they are, what their identity is. So for us, how does our new identity shape our lives? This is the third part of Peter's answer in this passage. Going back to verse 9 and 10, we see several implications of our new identity. As a priest, what can we offer as a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God in verse 5? Well, God will accept our prayers for other people. When someone is stressed or feeling down, we can pray for them. During lockdown, this is actually easier to do because we don't have to travel to meet them face to face over coffee or lunch. Just pick up a phone and talk to people who need encouragement. Lockdown is particularly stressful for people living alone, and they would appreciate a priest coming alongside them. So ask the Holy Spirit to guide you who to contact every week. Here's another practical aspect. A priest can be channels of God's blessing. Last month, Jeanette and I were stressed by my sister's death in Melbourne. I was asked to take the funeral, which I've never done before. On top of that was the stress of trying to get permission to enter Victoria because Greater Sydney was a red zone. So thank God that in the end, everything went well. And thank you to the many people here who prayed for us. When we got back to Sydney, our son's family in Brisbane, instead of sending us flowers, blessed us by ordering Uber Eats. We were so touched by that idea that we have copied it. We looked around for people who were grieving or feeling down and ordered a meal delivery for them too. So far, we have done that for 7 families. Financially, it's not much, but it is a joy for the recipients to know that other people are thinking of them. As priests, let us be channels of blessing to others. I know that many of you are struggling with the demands of working from home, homeschooling children, and caring for elderly parents, etc. I know that the struggle for time and for space can create tension in the home. Can we be a priest who brings calm and love when frustrations and tensions arise? And for us men, we are the head of the family. That probably means that we are the chief priest. That means the most responsibility. Each morning, let us ask the Holy Spirit to empower us with His grace for that day. Pray and ask that we will be the intermediary between Him and our friends and family. Next, notice the purpose of having this new identity in verse 9. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you. It is our responsibility and privilege to praise God and make Him known to all around. We should be making disciples, teaching others about Jesus, helping people move to the right one step at a time. Don't think this is the job of the pastors only. Remember, we're all priests. We all share in this responsibility and privilege. Another aspect is that together as a church, we can do things we can't do on our own. What's an example of this? A church can be a warm family where God's love is demonstrated. Often, what attracts a non-Christian coming to church is seeing and experiencing a group of people who love each other and who have a higher purpose in life. We can still do this on Zoom. Invite out your friends and stay in the breakout rooms after the service. Collectively as a church, as a living temple, we can declare God's love to this world. And in verse 11, Peter reminds us again that we are aliens and foreigners in this world. We're just passing through on the way home to where Christ is. During this journey, we need to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul, verse 11. What struggle or war with yourself are you facing right now? Each day we have wrong desires or thoughts. It could be lustful thoughts or a desire for even more material possessions, or a desire for more attention from our family, or a desire just to be selfish and not bother about others. There is a constant internal war going on against our own soul. Are you winning this war? We can only win if we ask the Holy Spirit to constantly remind us that now we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We need to depend on God through prayer to win this war. Let us pray more often during the day, not just in the morning and before going to sleep. Peter also encourages us in verse 12 by saying, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Yes, we may be accused of doing many wrong things by the pagans, that is, by society around us. We've seen many examples of this even in Australia, where Christians are accused of doing the wrong thing when they obey scripture. But Peter says, don't worry, just continue to lead good lives and doing good things, because ultimately, unbelievers will glorify God because of our lives. Note that this may not come in our lifetime, but it definitely will come on the day he visits us, verse 12. That is on Judgment Day at the end of the world. What a great encouragement to drive us on and live a life that pleases God despite facing opposition from society. In summary, we have a new identity as God's chosen people. On earth, we are strangers and aliens just passing through during our short lifetime. But while we pass through this world, individually, we are priests who bless other people. And collectively, we are a holy temple. And ultimately, our task is declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So this coming week, let us be firm in our new identity and live accordingly to the glory of God. Amen. Now it's over to Walita for our closing hymn. Thank you, Walita.
What amazing identity that we have in Christ. May that shape our lives.